Now Say Now. You're tuned into the Wake Up and Win podcast, and I am your host, Devon Pouncey. We are here at the Momentum Studios in Rip City. Spencer Shay, what's the dilly?
Rip City.
Rip City, baby.
Shout out to Bill Shawley. I'm doing good, man. How are you doing, bro?
Oh, man, I can't complain, man. You know, just staying busy, keeping at it, doing all the things that I like to do.
Yeah, I haven't seen you in a couple of days, so I'm trying to figure out where you're going to be next.
Woo! You want to jump into win shares like that, huh? All right, let's do it. Thursday night, I will be at Mermosa, 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m.
I'm doing wine nights party there on
Thursdays.
That's They're a cool vibe. Night. I like that.
For sure. Mermosa is a black-owned wine itself that has expanded into a restaurant, which is where obviously I'll be DJing at, but the Mermosa brand started as a wine here in the great state of Oregon where you can get some pretty good wine. And so they do a wine night, you know, and they have, you know, all of their folks, their wine club members and all the things come and drink wines. And they have other folks that I think kind of serve their wines there as well. And you can become members there. They kind of try to support black-owned and minority wine owners, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so it's cool, man. 6:30 to 8:30, you catch a good vibe.
Is that the same? That could have been the same one. Remember when we kicked it stupid tough on 23rd, just in that like little couple block square? It was after a Thursday night gig, wasn't it? At Mermosa. When we hit that other joint up and then we met up with old boy. We were just hanging out.
Yeah.
On 23rd. It's nice over there, bro.
It is.
It's a quiet little spot on the street.
For sure. No, it's fire, bro. It's fire. And so, yeah, man. No, I'm excited about it, man. It's going to be a good situation. We're going to get that thing rocking. And then Friday, we got a doubleheader taking place this Friday. It will be lit. We will be this Friday at Star Pizza from 6 p.m. until 9 p.m. And then after Star Pizza, we will head over to Lulu Bar, baby. We are back with Lulu Fridays from 10 p.m. until late, usually about 1 a.m., 1:30 a.m., somewhere in that ballpark. But Lulu's this Friday. I'm back doing some Lulu Fridays. I'm excited to be able to kind of get things going back over there. You know, it's a good time, man. It's a real good time to be able to kind of have all of this stuff going on and get back into DJing. I'm done doing college basketball, so no more Pacific for me. No more Portland State for me. Portland State, still tune in and check them out and support them as they try to make a run, you know, at getting to the big dance and the Big Sky tournament. They were able to secure a bye, so shout out to them. Much love to them always. But I'm just doing Remix basketball now. And quite frankly, most of the Remix games don't interfere with my DJing scheduling.
Sure.
The days and evenings that I primarily would DJ, we play a lot of like midday games.
Like,
and then we play, you know what I'm saying?
Like
we play midday and midweek games for that matter. We don't really play the like 7:30 game, the later games. We kind of play at like 3 and 5 and 6 o'clock. So it really doesn't interfere with my night gigs.
Right.
And then, of course, some days I just don't have any games at all because, you know, we had games this week on Sunday and Monday. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, a Thursday, Friday, Saturday with no games, I can just do all DJing and really rack it up. And then I'll be back at Mermosa, though, on Saturday morning. It'll be a doubleheader that day as well. I'll be doing Mermosa brunch from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. And then Saturday night, I will be doing kind of a guest set with my guy Mo Taz. Mo Taz and I will be DJing at Silk Road, which is a brand new bar that is opening this weekend. And, you know, we're both excited to be able to be a part of kind of their opening weekend. It's Mo Taz's birthday this weekend. So we're going to go back to back with it and rock out. And, you know, he'll spend a little bit. I'll spend a little bit and let him kind of go off and do his thing for his birthday as well. And again, I was able to go to Silk Road last night for like a family and friends soft opening, if you will. And it's a vibe. It's 100% a vibe. So I think it's a spot that folks certainly want to come check out. You know, it's right. You know, it's 1230 Hoyt is the address, and it's right near Two Wrongs and, you know, River Pig and all of Star Pizza. It's like literally half a block up from Star Pizza.
I'm gonna pull up for sure.
It'll be good vibes, man. So I'm staying busy, man. All in all.
Bro, you know what? I'm really actually happy about like powering down from basketball a little bit and moving back into music, man. It's actually been nice for like just like my brain feels like less like it's running like a adding machine all day, you know? So it's been nice.
Now, yeah, that's a story of my life. You know what I'm saying? Like again, my first broadcasting job was radio, talk radio, where I was doing that 5 days a week. And once I jumped out of talk radio and got into in-game broadcasting, it's like, it's seasonal work, but during that season, it is an absolute grind. And so it's kind of cool to be able to kind of flip the switch. And granted, same goes for DJing, especially here in this market, because the weather is so shit during the winter months. Like, a lot of the DJ gigs kind of slow down a little bit anyway, because there's not as many like parties and private events to do, but also you basically eliminate all of the outdoor venues as well. And there's a lot of outdoor venues out here, especially since COVID, where everybody kind of had to go outdoor anyway to be able to operate and build out these patios and all of these different things. And so, you know, obviously the weather isn't favorable for that during the winter months. So it's perfect the way that the schedules align and fit for me. But at the same time, you know, I'm excited to get back to spinning on the ones and twos, and I'm glad to have gotten that break from DJing so much, because you know how I was getting it last summer and into the fall. Like, it was heavy, you know what I'm saying? And it's about to get back to being that way. Like, I'm already booked now DJing-wise. Obviously, I'll dribble it out to you all here as the weeks progress, but I'm already DJ. I mean, I'm booked out already DJ from DJing standpoint, all the way through like the first weekend of May. So I'm booked out for the rest of March. I got April booked out already, and I got the first weekend of May already booked out. So it's like, it's about to turn back into that heavy, you know, really grinding super heavy. And so I'm excited to kind of be somewhat in transition mode, but still in my busiest month with the remix right now, as the remix still play this weekend as well. We got the Texas Legends coming to town on Sunday at 3 p.m. You can tune in on Fox 12 Plus. And obviously, if you know, you don't get access to Fox 12 Plus, go to the NBA G League website, and then we play again next Tuesday against the Texas Legends as well. 3 p.m. tip-off on Sunday, and a 6 p.m. tip-off that will be happening on Tuesday.
And I checked last night. They're in the fourth spot.
Right now, we're in the fourth spot in the West.
So, I mean,
it's a really tight race, though. It's a really tight, and the Legends are one of the teams that are in it.
It's gonna jostle game to game.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was checking that out because we were talking last week about that, and I was like, you know, I really, you know, think that it's hard for me to not just be a legit fan and want to see them go all the way. I want to see what the production looks like that the G League has in store. How did they, like, you know, up the pageantry and just like the broadcast? I want to see this stuff, you know, because what I mean? Because truth be told, man, like, I don't pay attention to the other, you know, goings on in the G League. I just pay attention to the remix.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? Like, I want to see what it looks like from a fan perspective as a new fan.
Yeah.
And be like, okay, how does this broadcast and how does the G League as like a...
And I will say, potentially, I have some ideas already, because those conversations are already being had within the organization. Because, I mean, hey, if the playoffs started today as a fourth seed, we would be hosting a playoff game. Because what it is, you know, to break down kind of the format, it's the top six teams in each conference go. It's a single elimination tournament up until the championship round. That's when it's a best of three series. But basically, the top two teams one and two in each conference, get a bye in the first round, which then leaves it to where team three would host team six, and then team four would host team five. And so right now in the fourth spot, we would be hosting that 4-5 game. And then, you know, if we win that, we would have to go on the road to play against number one. You know what I mean? We would have to go on the road. 4-5 will play against the number one, and the winner of 3-6 will go play against the number two. And so, yeah, we very well could be hosting. But what's interesting, especially playing against the Texas Legends, is we're at the fourth spot. They're currently sitting at the sixth spot, and they're only a half a game behind us. Yeah. So this is huge. I mean, is, you know what I'm saying? So it's like,
it's going to remind me of NCAA basketball.
For sure. For sure. So for them, this is going to be an important slate of games because they can jump some stand. They can jump up some slots in the standings. For us, obviously, we're only a half a game. We're only a full game out of second place, which then would get us a bye and a potential host, and we're 2.5 games out of first place. So it's like we still can climb up from even being at number four and already being in a position where we could potentially host. And then we could also kind of put another team a couple of more games behind us by beating them two more times head to head at home. So it is starting to come down. It's a big weekend. You know, these games matter game to game. It mattered against Memphis Hustle. You know, we ended up splitting against Memphis, but they were in sort of the same ballpark as well. And you know, but they won one and lost one, so it really didn't do much for them from an improvement standpoint. And because we won one, lost one, it didn't hurt us. It didn't particularly help us either, but it didn't hurt us. So we're still, you know, ahead of them in the standings, but it's a really tight race in the Western Conference. So I'm excited. I want to be able to host a playoff game. And like I said, there are some potential huge ideas that could be on the horizon if we do indeed get to the playoffs and ultimately host. But I don't want to get ahead of myself and put it out there because everything is tentative on other things and dependent on other things. But exciting times. And I love to see what the remix, like what we've been able to do this season has been really dope because we're a team that a lot of our guys have played up from our draft picks. You know, you look at, you know, Chris Murray, and you look at, you know, Ryan Rupert, who both were draft picks, who have been able to spend a lot of time and get minutes up with the Blazers. You know, our two-way guys, we had a two-way guy end up getting converted into a standard deal. Right. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that's change your life.
Change your life.
And if you go and look at Duop's career, it's like, man, this is the biggest hit he's got in his career by far.
By far. You know what I'm saying? So you had a situation like that. Our other two-way guys have been playing up because the Blazers, quite frankly, have been injury riddled this season. So with so many guys injured that are rotational pieces, it has allowed opportunity and made minutes available for these guys that have been two-way players. And then even somebody like Ashton, you know, Tajay Moore went on a 10-day. Ashton gets converted and gets himself a two-way deal. And so he's been up ever since. You know what I'm saying? He got a 10-day and went from a 10-day to a two-way. And so he's been up there with the Blazers ever since. So we have actually been one of the teams, especially in this race, that – have probably played guys that are on more standard G League contracts than any other team that has been able to have a lot of their draftees and two-way players be available to them and come down and play with them primarily rather than playing up, where for us, primarily our guys have been playing up. You know, Manias played up for a good portion of the season. He's been back with us recently, but he's been up with the Blazers for a significant part of the year. So I just think it's really cool for a first-year franchise where we're making a splash in the league now.
And
we're
doing competitive.
We're staying competitive.
That's what's crazy
even with
about
a bunch of guys playing up. And I mean, imagine if all of those names that I just named had been playing down with us right now. We would be a – we'd win a championship.
Yeah, it'd be a juggernaut.
Yeah, it'd be a G League juggernaut.
Straight up.
You know, I think, really think about that,
though.
It'd
be nasty.
If we had Duop, Ashton, Rupert, Murray, like if
Justin,
it would be top to bottom. We would be.
I mean, but you know what? And keeping Kevin Knox, like, I mean,
keeping Kevin, like,
man, is nasty.
Oh my
man.
Gosh, he's been
to be able to watch that dude so closely,
yeah,
and be like, whoa, man, like, what you can put if you can't get half of that to the NBA,
yeah,
you're on the money, bro.
You're on the money. He is great.
And he just looks so, like, you know, like from seeing him in Portland before, you know, like before he hit the G again with our team.
Yeah.
You know, he just didn't have the same composure at all. It's like he just seems really just calm,
yeah,
and just even keel. Like, I'm just here to bust people's asses, and then I'm going to get right back to the house.
Well, it makes you wonder, and this is where I think the G League is really, really good for. What I think it's really, really good for is we have guys like a Kevin Knox, who was a lottery pick, and he came into the league with such big expectations.
Well, they all do, man.
And they all do, and it's like, you don't, especially being a lottery pick, you don't really get a chance to develop to the outside world, to sure. the real heads, sure. the basketball heads. We know that this thing takes time. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. And it's a process
yeah.
that has a lot of different avenues that can get you to the promised land.
Absolutely.
And you see that it's more and more and more. So, yeah, that pressure is unfair.
I think for him,
to the game, you feel me? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And, I mean, even this year, you know, we had him on our roster coming into the season. And I remember we have a media day at the Trailblazers facility. And on media day, as he's here with us, getting ready to go through all of his interviews and all the content and all the other things that happen on media day, he gets called up to the Detroit Pistons before ever even playing a game with the Remix. And he's been with the Pistons all season long up until the trade deadline. He gets traded to Utah and then gets waived from Utah. So because he was waived from Utah and we had him prior to the call up to Detroit, we obviously had the rights to be able to bring him back. And I truly believe this is best case scenario for him, because the way he's playing, the confidence that he's able to play with,
yeah.
and to be able to just kind of get loose and play to really his full potential from a talent and a skill standpoint, yeah. I truly believe there's a mental hurdle that he's overcoming as well by yeah. performing at this type of a level that will translate for him whenever that call-up happens again.
Totally.
Because I'm going to tell you, based on the way he's playing, oh, he's definitely going to get a call
back
up.
That's what I've seen, exactly.
Yeah.
That just the composure and the confidence. Like, he's ready to get in there.
He's ready to get in there.
And I
really believe it. Yeah,
he's
yeah.
going to mix it up.
He's got intangibles that you can't teach, you know, 6'7", can score on all three levels, has a solid enough handle, you know what I mean? Yeah. And because of having those intangibles, he doesn't need crazy handle. He just needs to have enough handle to be able to get to his spot and elevate.
Yeah, that's all, bro.
Because he's got all the rest. Yeah. He's got the skill. He's got the jump shot. Like I said, can score it on all levels. Like, he is – now, he has been impressive.
Now, the one thing that he, you know, I think he's, like, ready to start looking to, if he does get to that level and hit, is, like, his playmaking could be, you know, mm-hmm. he has that size, you know what I mean, to be able to play make, hit those skip passes, driving and stuff.
But yeah.
He doesn't do that here. He just gets buckets.
He just keeps scoring.
He just gets buckets, man. That's all he's there to do.
There's a confidence that comes with that, because the reality of it is, of course, there's areas of his game he can improve in, but his strength is to be a scorer. He was expected to come into the NBA, and he did for a little while earlier on, and he's a scorer. That is, by nature, that is who he is. And so when you're not even playing to your strengths, or you don't feel like you're playing to your strengths, that could be a blow, confidence-wise, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, yeah. now that he's able to lean into being exactly who he is as a scorer, and his confidence is able to increase game by game because of that, you'll naturally start to see him be comfortable and confident enough to start doing and trying other things from a playmaking standpoint.
Right.
And then again, once you realize you can do that, you just continue to build on it. You know what I'm saying? But he has been hooping like crazy.
Well, I mean, it is really just a byproduct of what the Remix is doing. Like, I'm at every game, you know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, you pull up.
And I'm trying to pay attention, and it's like you're talking about, they're doing it in a new sort of splashy, innovative way.
It's
trying
fire.
trying to stay up against the forefront.
Yeah.
of what the league is kind of trying to do and going toward.
Yeah.
And staying competitive at the same time. And so I think it would be really fortuitous for the Remix and the G League in general for us to get there, because, like, man, the broadcasts are just icy.
We have fun.
You know what I'm saying? Like, all they need is just to get people to be able to pull up.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really...
And it's happening as the season progresses. Again, a lot of people just don't really know or understand yeah. because it hasn't been here. But they, I mean, I've had people that have pulled up to the G League games and are like, whoa. Like, especially, I mean, obviously. Like,
this basketball is crazy.
Especially
be
because a lot of right people, there. The reality of it is I have still been doing college basketball for the last 6 years, and this is my first professional gig in that regard. So it's like, even people that have supported me as a broadcaster and come to some of the games and been around for what I've been able to do in the college ranks that are now getting introduced to what's happening at the G League ranks, they're like, whoa, it is a one. It's like, yeah, these were like the best college players when they were in college nationwide. You know what I'm saying?
They're the
like
best
these
basketball are, player in their state.
States. Yeah, it's like these aren't just, you know, no disrespect to nobody, you know, but these aren't even really a lot of mid-major guys. And the guys for that sure. were mid-major guys were like, killing at the mid-major level. Like, we got guys that are coming from Kentucky and Alabama and, you know what I'm saying, schools like that. So it's really, you know, a big deal, man, and it's really some high-level basketball that's taking place in the G League, and much respect to our front office, you know, our GM, Danny Connors, because I think he has done a great job in constructing and reconstructing this roster as the season has gone on.
Yeah, and I really want to see a playoff game. I want to hear you guys call that.
Yeah, that'd be a vibe.
As a fan.
That'd be a vibe.
You know what I mean? Because, look, bro, because I'm trying to have the G League be, you know, the G League and the remix got to be a reflection of the fan base. You know what I mean? And, like, I like that we're keeping it just G and being like, yeah, what we got going on over here is tight.
It is tight.
I like that as a fan, you know, like,
yeah,
like just
tight.
just kicking the door in, just first year, boom,
yeah, boom.
Like, what's up?
We
I'm
here.
Gonna put my feet up real quick.
Yeah.
Let me
here.
Tell you something
from
real
top
time.
To bottom.
Yeah.
Operations, broadcast, like, just team, being competitive, as you mentioned, like, yeah, all the way around,
like
top
that.
To bottom. We do got a really cool organization.
I'm gonna be there for those games, obviously.
I like it. Well, history has happened within the sport of basketball. And let's leave with women. Obviously, we've had some scoring records that have been eclipsed, and then we had a scoring record that just continues to grow. but we'll start with the women's scoring record and Caitlin Clark, who passed that of Pistol Pete Maravich for the all-time NCAA Division I leading scorer. And first off, that's fire. Congratulations to her. She's had a special career that we all know about. She's been a great, and she has revolutionized women's college basketball, quite frankly. She's been a huge part of what has ultimately been a revolution for women's college basketball, and I'll even go as far as to say women's basketball at large.
Yeah.
She's been revolutionary in that regard, and, you know, it's just pretty cool to see a woman, you know, again, that's a stat that's been held by a man, and I think the fact that we have a woman that has reached that stat, because I don't care what level you at, scoring that many points, you got to be a crazy bucket. Men, women, or anything
children
in between.
Doesn't matter.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be a crazy bucket
to
be able to score that many points that, you know, again, it was Pistol Pete Maravich. And then, interestingly enough, fun fact, as we talk about the remix, now Caitlin Clark is number one on the all-time list. She surpassed Pistol Pete Maravich, which puts him at number two. And then at number three is none other than Rip City Remix's own Antoine Davis.
Bang.
At Detroit Mercy, who also, by the way, as we talked about the remix earlier, just in that last game against the Memphis Hustle, hit his 100th three-pointer of the season. He leads the entire G League in three-pointers made this season. So he just hit his 103 in that game, and so he's the first in the entire league to make 100 threes this season. But he's third. He's the third all-time scorer in NCAA history because he was a killer at Detroit Mercy. And quite frankly, he's still a killer here in the NBA G League in his rookie year.
He's got a literal drum clip, dude.
He's got
a literal drum.
But like I said, we're leading with women. But I had to throw that fun fact in there because it connects. But, you know, what's your thoughts, Spencer, about one, her breaking the record, and two, just kind of what it means to the game?
I mean, I love the fact that, you know, there's a new record getting broken. I like seeing records get broken.
Yeah.
People always – I think people complain a lot of the ways about record breaking specifically. Whether, and a lot of the times we know it'll be sort of like expressed in sort of gender based, you know what I mean? Or yeah. have some sort of political like veneer over it that shades their judgment or shades their opinion.
Yeah.
But I think that most people just don't like to see records broken generally because it makes them feel like things that they believe are untrue. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
as
yeah,
a kid,
yeah.
you're like, wow, that record, that Pistol Pete record will never be broken.
Yeah, like, forever
we said that to your friends for, like, 45 years
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, and then
all
of a sudden.
And then one day, Ponytail Pete shows yeah. up and shoots your lights out, and then people go, no, that can't be. You know what I mean? My whole belief system is crumbled. So yeah. that's what I think about that. But
for sure.
But you know, I like to see it from a basketball standpoint because I've been known that the women's basketball has been in getting this good
yeah.
since for a little bit, like a while before anybody has now quote unquote started to pay attention.
For sure.
You know
for
what
sure.
I mean? And
yeah.
so, I mean, you see the graphics that come across everyone's timelines about just like the most watched game since, you know, whichever last watched final NBA finals was just for her to break the record. You saw Travis Scott in there dapping up Jake from State Farm.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so it's good for me because I just look at it and go, okay, great. They're going to get more revenue share, hopefully. And
yeah.
there's going to be more money flowing in. And, you know, it's the NCAA, so I'm not going to hold my breath. But hopefully, you know, that money gets distributed, you know, out to the people that need it, the people
right.
that participate in it, i.e. the women of the sport. And, you know, I see better jobs. You know, I'm a women's basketball commentator myself.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I see like, wow, that's just great opportunity to strengthen a craft that I like to, you know, participate in and like
yeah.
a field that I'm in. I think it's great for the game. And so I love every part of it. I love to see records get broken.
Yeah, for sure.
It shocks and awes me.
Yeah.
And that's how she does it. Now, the one thing about it is she did kind of go a little crazy there toward the last few games where she's jacking up like 30 shots and you're like, all right, Kobe. But you
well,
know,
she kind of does that already.
I mean, she does. She does. And
like,
you know,
she's
does,
a gunner.
And a lot of people, you know, she does distribute the ball more than
well,
people
does,
give her credit. She
does
it all
because she always has the ball in her hand. So she's able to get all of her shit off.
She's going to be a really elite level player, I think, like a Sabrina Ionescu level of like development when she gets to the W.
For
like
sure.
She's got it.
She's got it. And I think she's got a real cool opportunity because she obviously announced that she's going to the W. And if the Indiana Fever can get that first draft pick again, boy, and we had Cherie Sam, who is the scout manager for the Portland Trail Blazers, but also, you know, a WNBA champion and legend,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? And she had a decorated NCAA career as well. And she was sitting on the broadcast yeah. with us the other day, and we were kind of just, you know, talking about, you know, what it meant and what it means for the game and everything. And it's like, at that level, if she can go to the Indiana Fever and her and Aaliyah Boston be a tandem in the WNBA, ooh, that's what I want to see.
That would just be.
That's what I want to see.
That'd be obscene.
That's what I want to see that. I'm not going to lie. And so we were kind of talking about that on the broadcast, amongst other things, of course. But, you know,
nice.
I do believe that now, as we enter the month of March, and let's just call a spade, because last year, when everything erupted with her in South Carolina with Aaliyah Boston
into
the LSU game, you know what I'm saying? When everything kind of erupted at that point in time, a lot of tension arose for reasons that none of y'all wanted to admit, but the reality of it was just sitting there right in front of your face. And there was some race baiting and racial tension that was taking place by way of the way that the tournament unfolded. Obviously, you know, when you had Dawn Staley, who talked about the way her team was being treated, and she's got all these black girls on her team, and you got, you know, Caitlin Clark, who took them to school. They were the defending champions from a season ago, the number one team in the country, and
undefeated.
She was able to undefeat it. She was able to upset them and get them out of there, and then now she's got to follow up and play against LSU and Angel Reese, and we all know how that story unfolded. Well, guess what, folks? To be real, because she well deserves it, because she's that good of a player and she's broken all of these records, like, we kind of forgot about all of the other storylines in college basketball a season ago that are all about to resurface right here and now, because all the talk in women's basketball has been about Caitlin Clark. We haven't really been, there hasn't been as much Angel Reese coverage. There hasn't even been as much like Dawn Staley and South Carolina coverage, who's really, really good again. And they're all getting ready to face off again. And the moment that we've been waiting a whole year for is here now, because March is here and the madness of it is about to get crazy. And I'm telling you, I am far more excited for all of the possibilities of what could happen here in this women's tournament than I am for the men's tournament. And obviously that foundation was laid a year ago based on kind of how everything went. And Caitlin Clark, quite frankly, has become, and again, rightfully so from a performance standpoint, but if we want to just acknowledge the social side of all of this, she's kind of become the white savior again. and she has been able to take over the world of women's college basketball. And I'm telling you, the women's basketball is so good, and folks are going to try to hunt her down this month. And I'm excited to see how that all plays out, because A, good luck, because she's that good. She's coming for it all too. But B, good luck to her, because she's got some real gunners that's about to be coming her way.
She's gonna be
round after round after round, and she's going to have to, I mean, her greatness will be on a whole nother level if she can win an NCAA title this year of all years, because this
would put a bow on it. Because she
even more so than had she won it last year.
Oh, let me put it this way. It would be like she's holding a burlap sack full of lit M80s. Exactly. She's going to get popped on from everywhere, bro.
It's going to get wild.
She's going to need to run and duck, dude, because it's coming.
But she's going to shoot back, because she's a shooter. But the best, quite frankly.
For sure. Absolutely. Listen, I feel you. And, I personally don't prescribe to that narrative, but I totally see it. And for me, that's the thing that I don't like about it is – it just detracts away from the quality of opponents and basketball teams that just are going to be in the tournament or in women's basketball in general. Damned how it looks compared to, you know, Caitlin Clark. You
for
know
sure,
what I mean? Like,
for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Here's what I do believe, though. I think, though, there is something to be said about the quality of play being able to live up to the hype that has now come around it, if that makes sense. From a reverse standpoint, it's like, while yes, some of those things can be, some of the social elements of sports can seem like a distraction to this phenomenal product that is happening on the floor night in and night out at that level. But I do think there's something to be said about that product already being so good that now that it has the hype, bringing that phenomenal product along with the hype is going to just erupt this thing in ways that we've never seen before. And that's kind of what happened in the tournament last year.
Sure, but this isn't Bird versus Magic anymore. You know what I mean? Like,
why not?
Because of the construction, the social construction around sports and around society, the development of it since the 80s to now.
A lot of those elements still exist.
I mean, they do, sure.
Probably more than ever in the player empowerment era.
But people don't react to them in the same way. They don't gather around the fire in the same way.
But are you sure? Because they broke all kind of viewership records last year, and I think that had a huge part to do with it.
I mean, it still fuels discourse. I mean, ultimately, it's good. Ultimately, it's good.
And that's what I'm ultimately saying is
you're getting viewership just by sheer like population.
I not only think it's
sliver of the pie that accounts for too.
And I agree with you that it's ultimately good for that. But I ultimately think that let's get real about it here. You know what I'm saying? I think the problem is when people try to avoid that this is kind of what's going on and it's kind of what happened last year. And it's the reason why we got to this particular point. A lot of people are too. Their nose is too high up in the air for them to think that could never be me, that is a part of that narrative or feel some type of way because we've got this, you know, I have somebody that identifies with what it is that I identify with that's dominating the game of women's college basketball if you're a white person. And if you're a black person, it's like, yeah, we love seeing them sisters go out there and flex like that. And Angel Reese, like, it's okay to want to see somebody you identify with be successful. Sometimes, yeah, things get taken the wrong way because of it, and it leads you down another path. But at the same time, like, I don't think we can deny that most white people out there have thoroughly enjoyed Caitlin Clark being the best basketball player in women's college basketball. The same way that most black people
they kicked her ass last year.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just, it's not a bad thing. No, we always put a negative connotation to it. Let's call a spade for what it is.
You know,
this is where we're at now, folks.
That's the thing.
The game can live up to that because they're damn good.
No, I 100% agree with that because that type of perspective is happening in a bunch of other media all over. I mean, even on this podcast right now, for instance.
And we don't admit it, and I think that's part of the problem why we can't mend it.
Yeah, well, you have to do it on that, you know, on that level of the platform.
For sure.
It has to happen right there.
For sure. You know? And it's like, you know, and I think they've all handled it gracefully. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they all rock with each other, but they know what it is. Like I said, Dawn Staley know what it was folks were saying to her team and that we don't know because we weren't in the stadium, but all of those folks that came out to support Caitlin Clark and she was able to upset a South Carolina team full of young black women that have been dominating the sport, yeah, they had something to say about that. It was just within the confines of basketball. Mm. But there was – but – it reached a certain level because of who it was that people identify with. And I don't think it's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I agree.
If you can acknowledge that. You know what I'm saying? The problem is people don't get to acknowledging it, and then personal shots can start to be taken because now you're not accepting and admitting and being accountable to what it is that you're actually out here doing, and now you get viewed in a different kind of a light and different kind of attacks come your way. But if we could just sit here and acknowledge, like, oh, this shit is about to erupt again in the next couple weeks. Are y'all ready this time?
Yeah.
Because y'all wasn't last year.
It's like, listen, man. Hey, bro.
Y'all were not ready. That's real. We weren't ready. And it happened quick. Are y'all a little more prepared this time around?
I mean,
because the time is here and now.
Listen, from what I hear from the whites locker room, they have a big whiteboard that says blacks 1, whites 0. And they have a countdown until when those games happen. So I'm just reporting. I'm not affiliated with that camp.
I'm telling you, like, I don't think we've talked. We're trying to avoid it.
They're doing Ivan Drago style workouts like Rocky IV.
We're trying to avoid it.
They got the tube in their mouth. They're in there going, we're going to get them this time, boys.
Yeah, we're trying to be too snobby, and we're trying to avoid it right now. But I'm not going to avoid it because it's only 2 weeks. I'll avoid it when it's not as relevant, when it's November, like, all right, enough of talking about that. Something else is happening around here that we can talk about. But March is back, baby. And I don't know if y'all remember that y'all wasn't really ready for what took place in women's college basketball just a year ago. Have you prepared and braced yourself? Because majority of the same characters are all still here.
So the plot
will thicken.
It's going to be so fun. You know
what I mean? Like, majority of the characters, especially the two main characters, which ultimately became Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese last year, they're back in the fold of this thing. The plot thickens. South Carolina, the team that dealt with all, they're the number one team in the country right now, just like they were last year. You know what I'm saying? Then you add elements. You got young players like Juju Watkins in U.S. The Pac-12 has got a stable of teams that are coming to represent from here on the West Coast, from Colorado to USC to UCLA to the Oregon States to Stanford. It's happening over here on the West Coast. And this tournament is about to go bananas. And I hope y'all ready for it because y'all wasn't really ready last year. I remember. Y'all wasn't ready, but it's back though. So get ready.
Oh, shit.
Cause here we are again. March Madness, baby. You gotta love it. And again, I enjoy it. I'm embracing that. This is where it's at again. Yeah, let's do
it. It's gonna be dope.
Let's rock. You know what I'm saying? I'm embracing it in a joyful way. It don't always have to be looked at as hate, man. This is a beautiful thing. This is one of the rare sports is one of the rare industries where you can all bring these backgrounds in this way for the love of a common thing.
Yeah.
And so.
And shout out Hidalgo.
Man, it's UConn and them over there in the tub too.
And Paige, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like they over there, Paige want to get her, you know what I mean? She was hurt last year. She wasn't able to be a part of it. Like she want to get in on this smoke. Like it's about to get wild.
Leave them at there's so much going on. I just wanted to give them, you know what I'm saying, put some respect on their name. Anyway, let's move on.
It's happening. It's happening, man. And so, yeah, man, like I said, I'm excited that it's back and that we get to witness it. I'm going to try to see if I can get to some of the games that are happening here in Portland. We got a Sweet 16 and an Elite 8 round happening here in Portland. So I'm going to try to make my way there. Like, this is about to get real. And I don't think y'all ready. Because I know y'all wasn't ready last year. I just know it. Because I seen how it all played out.
Listen, man, I'm telling you, I'm trying to get into that arena, you know, by any means necessary. I don't call to action on this podcast often. But if you got tickets, you better holler at your boy, man.
Yeah, it's going up.
Split Van Gundy on Twitter. Shoot me a DM. I'm trying to get in there. Yeah.
It's going to be exciting. And I think it's a beautiful thing to be able to embrace. Cause like I said, sports being one of the, it's a common love that we all have amongst, you know, backgrounds and demographics and so on and so forth. It's like, it's beautiful to be able to have this kind of discourse in a space that we know we all have love for this space itself. We all have love for the game that is basketball. I would rather have discourse amongst racial discourse or whatever kind of political discourse is necessary. And this is why I think sports are such a big deal to society at large. I would rather have that discourse in a space that we all love rather than have that kind of a discourse because of something that we all hate. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would rather have that discourse in a space where we all love this thing. Now, let's acknowledge who we are and how and what we mean and how we attach ourselves to this thing that we know we all love. I think there's something to be said rather than us meeting in a space because it's nothing but hate. And now, you know, here we go, Civil War. Here we go. You know, something just too off the wall is about to happen. Like, you can really learn from this space. So, again, I'm embracing the discourse. I'm embracing the competition. I'm embracing everything about it because I think a lot of people avoided doing that last year. But the numbers proved that none of y'all avoided being a part of it last year. From the attendance to the viewership, we all were tuned in. We all were locked in. And some of y'all can't tell me that all of y'all was locked in because y'all have for so long loved women's basketball. Y'all can't tell me that. You know what I'm saying? Y'all can't tell me all them records got broken solely because all y'all loved women's basketball that much. Because if that was the case, that record would have been broken a long time ago. Nah, man, there was some discourse that was attached to this that we all should acknowledge took place last year and is highly likely to take place again here in the coming weeks. March is here.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's why just grab your Kleenex, you know what I'm saying? Stop tripping. And just kind of keep it down and just watch the game. Watch the ball go into the hoop. You know what I'm saying? And just spend time doing that consistently for a while. And then we'll get back to, you know what I'm saying, how you feel about this other stuff. You know what I mean?
But again, congratulations to Caitlin Clark because where I do want to give her credit, I wasn't calling her a white savior from like a negative standpoint because, again, she deserves every bit of praise and acknowledgement that she's getting, because as I said from the jump, she has revolutionized this entire thing, and I don't think she's able to revolutionize this thing in the way that we were able to just discuss without her being one of the greatest to ever put the ball in the basket that we've ever seen. It wouldn't match that hype if she wasn't so damn good. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that hype is there, and there's other elements that have got us all into it now, but that doesn't come without her being an absolute giant in this sport. A giant that took down another giant in South Carolina, and then a giant that got slayed by LSU that was just in the tuck waiting to get a chance at her. You know what I'm saying? Like, this thing is all about
doing
to
that
be
doing that move where they're like hitting their fist into their hand, like just
it's
like, just,
it's right, yeah, this is it's up because these because Caitlin Clark is a baller. You know what I'm saying? And I do believe that this year would be more meaningful to her career winning a championship than even had she finished the job last year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think this one is going to be a little bit more meaningful because it's about to get real. It's tough out there in the sport of women's basketball. But congratulations to her. You're a giant.
I don't feel good about her winning, by the way. I don't know if that – I mean, I just – as a team. I mean, it's not her winning.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
team.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
Iowa
but,
team.
But she's the face of it.
Yeah.
She's got to embrace that element of it too.
For sure.
But at the same time, you don't feel good having to play against her either. And that's the beauty of it all. I don't think
she's
South
definitely
Carolina.
She's definitely a Steph and Dame sort of style. Like,
yeah.
She can individually one person beat you.
And that's the tough part.
Yeah.
Because she's done it time and again.
Yeah.
And if she goes off, her supporting cast is solid enough to back her up. And next thing you know, oh, you're done for the year and she's on to the next round. She's a problem, man. She's a problem. LeBron, we got to acknowledge LeBron. He eclipsed 40,000 points. How about that?
I mean, it's totally crazy. That number bends my mind. And he also has like 10,000 everything else, damn near.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's pretty nuts. I think, like I was saying earlier, I just love that records get broken. And I can't wait to see, you know, how it gets broken, if ever.
Well, that's the thing. Again. We're about to turn into them people that you were talking about that had to get their belief systems shattered after 45 years because we're about to be the new people that are going to say, I'm going to go out and say it right now. In my lifetime, LeBron James's record is never going to get broken. I don't think it's happening. I don't think it's happening. Like, especially at the level he's still playing at and the fact that he's going to continue to score and put up buckets and he's got some years left in the tank. Like, he's already did what y'all thought was unthinkable by passing Kareem. That nobody thought that Kareem's record was going to get broken. Now here comes LeBron. He not only shatters that record, then he gets to 40,000, and he still got so much gas in the tank, averaging upwards of 25 points per game during the season that he even breaks that record. That's crazy.
I mean, it is crazy. See, I'm thinking, and I'm like, all right, so everyone says in my lifetime, but it's like in Kareem's lifetime, LeBron James has broken that record, his record.
For sure.
So it's like, it's very possible that it happened.
I'm going to tell you why.
Exponential growth.
And this is, go ahead.
But no, I just wanted to fit because I know what you're going to say, I think, because you're right. That is a crazy trajectory for LeBron to be able to do that. It's pretty insane productivity.
I think what the thing that favors LeBron, though, that I don't see favoring most is that LeBron was able to play in favorable eras to be able to do what he's currently doing and counting. And this is what I mean by that. He played in the earlier, he's played over 20 years. So he's been a part of two different eras of basketball.
I think the number is like one third of the history of NBA players. He's played again.
Exactly.
That's insane.
So think about it from this standpoint. LeBron played during the era of load management didn't exist. So he is accustomed to playing an 82 game season. Damn sure not a 65 game season. Like, he's accustomed to, like, he comes from that ilk where it's going to be a lot harder for the players that are coming into the league that is now more of a load management league to play as many games, as many minutes as somebody as a LeBron James. But what could favor this new era is the fact that they shoot threes, and threes are worth more than two. But the fact that LeBron is still a part of this era too, he has the best of both worlds of playing the most minutes, because he comes from an era prior to load management, but also he has been able to transform his game to be able to, he shoots three-pointers far better at this point in his career now than he did earlier in his career. But what offset that was the amount of games and the amount of minutes that he played, obviously on top of just how fucking great LeBron James is.
We're not having extra minutes because he went to a finals
10 years. You know what I'm saying? So you start to think, been to 10 overall, but it's like he's played that deep into, so it's like when you consider all of those things and the fact that now he's been able to convert and actually he's a formidable three-point shooter now, it's like even with the rate that you can go in terms of threes being worth more than twos, well, he's still a dominant player in the three-point era that, you know, many people credit Steph Curry for changing the game, but, like, he has been able to adapt to that. So now he's just blowing this record out of the fucking water because now I can keep shooting threes towards the end of my career, which will ultimately lengthen my career because I don't have to be as high impact of a player with a formidable three-point jump shot, but also it's piling on the points because one extra point each time I knock down one of those trays. And I just think I don't know if we'll ever be able to see anybody that had all of that favoring them on top of just being a fucking phenomenal basketball player.
Well, no, I feel you. And I think really if you boil that down for us, for both Kareem and LeBron, how they got those records in the first place, it's really just down to longevity.
Yeah.
And it's funny that you mentioned 65 games and, like, you know, this new, like, 65 game eligibility sort of, you know, rule for the NBA. It's like, I mean, they're really obviously just testing to see if their stars are going to collectively get together to play at least 65 games so they can be like, cool, now it's a 65 game season. That's all they're doing.
Which hurts anybody trying to break LeBron's record.
But absolutely. And then it becomes an era discussion.
Unavoidably. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And so it's like, yeah, man, I think I don't see his record in my lifetime ever being eclipsed.
40 racks.
You know what I mean?
Lot.
It's a lot. And counting.
And counting.
And he's still averaging upwards of 25 points per game. Like, that's crazy. Anybody.
Mean, now listen, I'll say this. There's still the possibility that he gets Barry Bonds at some point in his, you know, after his career.
He's got more power than Barry Bonds, though. I don't think he could ever.
You know, right.
I don't think as great as Barry Bonds was, broke the all-time home run record.
Right.
I don't think
he's going to get Barry Bonds. And I don't think he should. Nah. And honestly, Barry Bonds shouldn't have got Barry Bonds. Yeah. To be honest.
Fair.
So, you know.
Fair. You know what I'm saying? Fair. But no, I love to see it. It's been great for the sport of basketball. Again, I hate when LeBron breaks records to turn this into a GOAT conversation, but you kind of don't have a choice because he's doing GOAT shit out there.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he scored 40,000 points. Yeah.
I don't care how you get there, champ.
That's greatest of all time level shit. You kind of can't avoid the conversation when he does something like that.
Yeah. That's a number that just smacks any argument you have. Well, Jordan had 40,000 points. Oh, well, this guy had 50 points in the season. 40,000 points.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you say. 40,000 points, bro. No one will ever do that again.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see it.
They've done the math. I was listening to a podcast yesterday. They were looking at where guys are at and how much points they've scored so far. And, like, it's just no chance.
No chance.
The next highest guy hasn't even – it's like 24 or 25, maybe 26,000. It's like, get the fuck out.
It's no chance.
No way.
It's too tough.
Yeah.
It's too tough. Man, LeBron's that dude, man. He's that dude. Got to give him credit where it's due. What else you got going on? What you got going on this week, man?
Man, I'm chilling, bro. Like, I honestly, that little thing came up on my phone recently where, like, it gives you your screen time.
Oh.
And it, like, made me want to throw my phone off the roof, dude.
Really?
I was like, damn, bro. I need to chill out.
You've been too locked into that phone.
Don't touch that phone.
I am not here. I'm making my escape.
But I've been going to games and stuff too. So I'm like, how the hell does that happen? But, you know, so I was.
You didn't know you'd be on the phone all game? Everybody do?
No, I really don't, though. I feel like at least the last couple of games. I don't know. Maybe I'm just. I don't know how it happens, man. I watch a lot of YouTube videos and kind of have them on in the background. Anyway, it made me go, all right, this is too much screen time or just use of the phone in general, listen to podcasts and what have you. So I'm trying to take advantage of this nice weather that we got real quick because it looks like it's, I mean, everybody says, oh, here we go, you know, spring right around the corner. And it's like, not so fast, dude. Last year it snowed in April. So just, you know what I mean? I still got the sweater on and the and stuff. So
yeah. I do want to say rest in peace to Chris Mortensen. Got to legendary broadcast journalist. I mean, was an absolute great during my lifetime covering that of the NFL with ESPN. And he is one of those people that, you know, as a broadcast journalist, as a journalist myself, like, he's one of those careers that I look up to that I'm like, I want a career like that. He's, you know what I'm saying, just a legend, you know, a pioneer in the game, has been around for so long, has meant so much to the sport of football and the NFL. And again, we gotta pay homage to the greats that come before us as broadcasters ourselves. And Chris Mortensen is definitely one of those.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's one of those. So rest in peace to Chris Mortensen. I ain't got too much more. I'm getting ready to go to this Blazer game.
I'm thinking I'm debating
about going.
Yeah, I might.
SGA, baby. I gotta see. I'm so high on SGA. I gotta see him play in person. I gotta see him play.
Yeah, I would love to see that too.
But SGA is like, he's having an MVP caliber season right now, and I want to be able to witness it.
If they finish first, do you think that he's gonna? I mean, what do you think is? I think
he deserves it.
Yeah, but so you could say the same Joker, thing about Jason Tatum, yeah, from the deserving standpoint.
For sure, absolutely.
I hate that the MVP race has become.
Is Jokic number one in the race again?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Of course, I mean, he was last year. We had this debate last year about him and Embiid, but Embiid ended up winning out. But like, come on, man. And to me, I don't think I just had a feeling since the beginning of. Like, sort of, quote-unquote, their run. I mean, shit, even the last, like two seasons ago.
Yeah, and I know he's number one. I was being sarcastic when asking, but it's like, damn. Here we go again, Spencer.
Yeah, but, you know, it's great because it's a puzzle that you got to solve.
Like, say more.
Jokic, you cannot guard him. The guys that are supposed to guard him, Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid, one of them gets knocked on his ass every time and just looking like he's playing fucking ring around the rosy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the other guy constantly ducks him in his home turf. So it's like, you got to solve that puzzle if you're going to have any claim of being, I'm the best player or we're the number one contender. It's the puzzle you got to solve. It's Jokic, who can stretch you all the way out, distribute at any place at any time. Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr. are like, those, it's like a Cerberus. That's like a Cerberus, you know?
Yeah.
The way that those guys have size and athleticism, they both can shoot and slash and play above the rim.
For sure.
That lets Jokic just loom over the defense as far out as the three-point line, like he's playing high-low at the nail. You know what I mean? Like, he's just so nasty with it. He's a straight up magician. The whole NBA better pray that Dallas doesn't play well, or better play that they do play well, and that Jokic, you know what I'm saying, gets out of the league because he wants to ride horses instead. Because if Joker and Luka ever teamed up, they would win five in a row.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind. Because those two guys are crazy, and the European dudes are coming. And so that's why I like, you know, Jason Tatum, or I guess SGA is going to be in the fold now too, because I really see OKC being good for a long time.
Yeah, they're going to be all right.
But Jason Tatum is in that same way. Everyone's like, well, he should be MVP. He's on a historically good team, and he's the best player. And it's like, dude, win a championship, man. Like, that's – you're not going to get – and I don't like that – and everyone, oh, it's a regular season award, but it's like – but is it, though? It's an award. It encompasses the whole of the discussion over however long the narrative is going. Mm-hmm. And right now, Jason Tatum, you're not going to win an MVP or get those types of accolades until you win a championship.
Woo.
That's just – I mean, I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
Is it unfair? Yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
You're not better than Jokic, but if you won a championship last year and you and your team was playing like this, you would be the number one
player in the league.
You would be
the face of the league.
You'd be the face of the league. You'd be the number one player, and you'd be leading the MVP votes right now.
I mean,
without a doubt in my mind.
I know the easy answer is LeBron from just in all totality as the face of the league, but from which you would want everybody's standard of face of the league is different. There's not a set definition for what the face of the league means. Some of it can apply to, you know, performance on the court. Some of it can apply to, you know, season ticket holders. Some of it can apply to winning championships. Like, there's so many things that you can kind of apply to try to buffer your point about who and why somebody is the face of the league. For you, based on whatever you don't even have to tell me your guidelines for what it is to mean the face of the league. But for you, based on your own personal guidelines, who is the face of the NBA right now? Today?
LeBron James. But that's just because he's still here.
Okay.
You know?
So, LeBron
because
aside.
Because that's who the face
well,
is.
Then who's, well, then who's trailing?
Steph Curry.
Okay.
Yeah. Because he's been, I mean, he's Steph, and he's been here. You know? Yeah. And he's been here.
Okay, then
but
who?
You're, then I who? Know what the question you're asking.
Yeah, so then who? Let's go down the list. I'm down to go down the list for a quick second.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
So then, LeBron James, then Steph Curry.
Then Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis, ahead of Joker.
Yeah. Okay. I think Giannis. I mean, I just think his, like, international, you know,
they're
like
both
impact.
But
well, I know, but his
he's
impact,
a little
like,
more out there.
He's in commercials.
Yeah, he's
you know,
a little more.
Yeah,
Joker's kind of low key, lot more low key.
Yeah, and I have to take into account like the world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the global.
Then
view.
I go Jokic. Then I go Luka.
Okay, so that's your top five.
Yeah, and Jason Tatum ain't there, bro. notice how I didn't leave him in. I didn't put him in there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. Here's another hot take.
Even though Luka's never won, but Tatum is.
It don't
They're
matter. It don't matter. Sure, but it. But,
historically speaking.
But I'm saying these guys are being penalized.
Yeah.
They're all getting lumped in together. And I don't know if I've said this on the podcast, but there's another hot take for you. Jason Tatum is not going to win a ring if he has Jaylen Brown on his team.
Woo! I like that.
It's not going to happen.
I like that.
I've seen this movie before. You know what I mean?
I've seen this movie before. That's a hot take. I like that. Because I still kind of think the Bucks are coming.
I think they could come.
I think the Bucks are coming.
And you better hope and pray Joel Embiid doesn't get back in rhythm because a lot of people fight me on this, but they're like, well, you think the Sixers do? Yes, I do. That is a hell of a basketball team over there.
They're nice. Add
Joel Embiid, all bets are off. So, yeah, I definitely do. But, yeah, I agree with you on Milwaukee. They're coming.
I still think Milwaukee is going to be the shit in the postseason.
And they're going to lose to Denver in the championship because they're going back to back. There's no doubt in my mind.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get out of here on that note. I like it. I like leaving on a couple of hot takes. On that note, we're going to leave y'all the only way that we know how, and that is to stay woke and go win.